It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, cinematographer and educator Cameron Shaw and Brentwood realtor Daryl Garrison. Now, here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely Saturday morning, and we also hope that you can spend the next hour with us, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So naturally, what we are looking for is your participation. That's very, very important. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love for you to call very soon, hopefully. And those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. And we also have a toll-free number, really, and that is 866-798-8255. Again, 866-798-8255. This is a great time to call, by the way. You know, we have lines open. If you have a question in mind, great. We'll be giving out questions momentarily, and you can try to answer one of ours as well. Again, 415-841-4134, or toll-free, 866-798-8255. I also want to remind you that you can contact us via email. We're right in the swing of it, yeah. And that is, the email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one, by the way. MindsOverMatter1@gmail.com. We'd much rather you called, but if you ever want to, if you want to contact us during the show and give an answer, or send us an email on some idea or comment you have, you can certainly use that. Of course, if you'd like to hear us in live stream, that is at kalw.org. And if you'd like to hear the podcast, it should be up in a reasonable amount of time after our show today, also at kalw.org and many other places. But start with KALW. I'm sure that would be appreciated. All right. All that being said, we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions, which I know is what you're waiting for. So here's the first. Cameron Shaw cannot tell if she has election-related existential dread, climate-related existential dread, or just quotidian existential dread. But it certainly exists, and it is certainly dreadful.
It's true. Okay. Very true. All right. Daryl Garrison is so nervous about Tuesday's election that he has voted early and often. Just in case he needs to move, he's teaching himself to speak French-Canadian.
Oui. Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, hopes to be heaving a sigh of relief after the election, but he could end up just heaving.
That's right. You never know. All right, that is us. We'll begin the questioning with Cameron Shaw.
Okay, I have a quick question to kind of clean up from Halloween stuff, and then I have a list question, if that's okay. Halloween one, there was one inanimate object this year on CNN's list of top 25 Halloween costumes. I'm wondering if you can tell me what it was, and bonus points if you know why. So one inanimate object in the top 25 most worn Halloween costumes.
Most worn, okay. An inanimate object.
So related to a news event of 2024?
I wouldn't really call it a news event, no. Okay. It's, but there is a nationwide reason why it was.
Is it something that children would have been aware of?
No. No, mostly adults.
Mostly adults. Huh. But these were children's. It was among the children's costumes.
Or no, this is all costumes.
So. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. An inanimate object. All right. I've got to think about that.
Yeah, I can provide hints as the show goes along.
Is there a specific news event that it's related to?
Not really. It's sort of a promotional thing.
Motion. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Then you want my list question as
well? Yes, go ahead, please.
Okay. So I went down a rabbit hole on Duolingo's blog. I'm wondering if you can tell me the most commonly studied languages in the following countries. So Duolingo is, you know, an app to learn another language. So in the following countries, what is the most commonly studied language? Sweden, the United States, Australia, Mongolia, India, Tanzania, and Afghanistan. So again, what is the most commonly studied language on Duolingo in the following countries? Sweden, the United States, Australia, Mongolia, India, Tanzania, and Afghanistan.
Once more, just the question, just the countries. Once
sure, more. Just the countries. Okay, right. Sweden, the United States, Australia, Mongolia, India, Tanzania, and Afghanistan.
I would think one of them would have to be English, but I'm not sure. I'll take a guess at, how about for India, something like Urdu?
No. You're right that one of them is English.
How about a Mandarin for Mongolia?
Nope. Understandable guess.
Well, in English, they learn Sweden from a young age, I think.
But this is not studied in school. This is on.
This is just on their own. Okay.
Yeah. A lot of these countries, I believe, they are taught English from a young age.
So I'm going to ask you a weird question. So is the United States English?
No, but I see where you're going with that, and I think it's a good thought pattern for some of these.
Okay.
Tanzania, how about French?
No, not French.
Man.
French is one of them, but not Tanzania.
Huh, all right, let me think.
Well, the U.S. will be Spanish or French, but I'm not sure.
Yes, the U.S. is Spanish. Good job.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's think about that, too. Is India... Is it another Indian language?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay, leave it out.
Okay.
Great. Just give the whole question again.
Sure. What is the most commonly studied language on Duolingo in the following countries? Sweden. We got the U.S. The U.S. is Spanish. So Sweden, Australia, Mongolia, India, Tanzania, and Afghanistan.
Tanzania. How about a European language for how about like Italian?
No. Some of these you have to think outside the box a little bit.
Well, you know, I'm just thinking refugees going to Europe kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. But no, it's not Italian or any European language.
All right. Okay. And Daryl, you go ahead.
Okay, sure. I have five TV shows with dogs. You name the dog or dogs from the show. I want their TV names and their breed. So on the old Tom Selleck Magnum PI, Higgins had two guard dogs. What were their names and their breed? There was a dog on Married with Children that had a voiceover actor telling us what he was thinking. On the Beverly Hillbillies, Mrs. Drysdale had a dog. Mad About You, they talked about their dog quite a bit. Mad About You, the name and the breed. And what was the name of Walt's dog on Lost and his breed?
Well, Magnum PI, the dogs were Doberman Pinschers, I think.
Yes.
Was Zeus and Apollo.
Zeus and Apollo, correct.
On Mad About You, his name was Murray, I believe.
It was Murray.
I could not tell you the breed. He was little. I remember that, but I don't know the breed.
And the other ones are, again, Daryl?
Sure. Married with Children. You could sometimes hear the dog talking to the audience. Mrs. Drysdale's Dog. It was pretty pampered. And then Walt's Dog on Lost.
And the breed of the dog on Mad About.
Yeah.
I never watched Lost. I know. I was being contrarian at the time.
No, I remember that. It's funny. I forgot about the talking thing, but I remember the dog's name. The dog's name was Buck, wasn't it?
Buck is correct.
All right. All right. So the ones that are still out there are, once more,
Mrs. Drysdale's Dog on the Beverly Hillbillies and Walt's Dog on Lost. Their names, their breeds.
All right. And if you'd like to join us here with a question or answer, the numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. This is Minds Open Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Rita in San Francisco.
Hi, Rita.
And hi, and since today is All Souls Days, the Day of the Dead, I thought I'd ask a couple questions having to do with death or dying or related things. So my first one is, what animal kills more people every year than any other? And I'm not including insects, so this isn't a question about malaria or anything like that.
Is this a deer?
I'm sorry, is this what?
Is it a deer?
No.
No? Okay.
No, I think it's a hippo.
I was going to say hippo as well, yeah. Is it hippo?
You're right that hippos, along with another land animal, are the most deadly land animal.
Oh, yeah, like water.
500
buffalo,
each.
Yeah, how about water buffalo?
No.
So this is a land animal, not a something in the water.
No, it is an animal.
Okay.
And it is not a land animal. There's okay. another land animal as deadly as hippos, but I'm looking for something even worse.
And mosquitoes don't count, correct?
Yeah.
No.
How about like a jellyfish or something
no.
poisonous in the water? No?
Okay. This is a fairly large creature.
All right, let's think about this.
It's
thinking maybe human salt. Or is that human or dog?
I would call humans.
I think the human guess is a good one, but these are actually saltwater crocodiles.
Oh.
And they kill right. about 1,000 people a year. And can anyone tell me what the other land animal, in addition to hippos, kills about 500 people a year?
Is it a venomous snake?
No, it's a land animal.
Well, I don't think it's a lion anymore, is it?
No.
Or a scorpion?
It's a large animal.
Or an elephant?
Elephant?
Yes, it is an elephant. Elephants and hippos both kill about 500 people each year.
Well, I think the elephants have a right, but
I agree.
yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so a little different question here. I'm looking for what's the deadliest predator? And again, this is not like I'm not looking for human beings, but as an example, when lions hunt, their success rate is generally about 25%. So I'm looking for something that has a much higher success rate than that.
Is it a smaller cat, wild cat?
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like I've read this
somewhere.
Is it just
a cat? Is it
no.
Is it, no?
No, is it like a serval or something?
No.
No, okay.
How about something like an owl?
No, although it is a winged creature.
Oh. Bat.
No. No, okay. Now that you said it's a winged creature, what did I see? It was something on National Geographic. What was it? A dragonfly.
That's it exactly. Give yourself a bell.
Dana.
Yeah. They have a 95% success rate, and they go after things like gnats and mosquitoes and flies.
Right.
So, amazing.
So switching to people, we've all heard that guns don't kill people, but what percent of murders in the U.S. involve a firearm?
What percent?
I would assume it's fairly high because
it is.
You're including accidental murders, correct? I mean, it's just all deaths perpetrated by somebody else.
Talking about murders, not accidental deaths.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about murders.
Premeditated murders. How about 70%?
No, but you're darn close to when we're using that 10% rule.
I think it's a little less, actually. I'll go 60%.
Nope.
Because there are plenty of different ways for people to lose their lives. Okay, so is that too little?
It is too little.
Wow. Mm.
Well, then... Oh, maybe
we're 78%.
Yeah,
it's 80%.
No, that's close enough.
But remember, guns don't kill people.
Those darn bullets.
Hey, and in 2022, were there more homicides or suicides in the U.S.?
2022 is post-pandemic, sort of.
Yeah,
I'll say suicides.
I think there's like 30 to 35,000 homicides each year. Probably more suicides.
Not sure.
Hey, and is that your guess?
Yeah, I guess suicide, personally.
Hey, there are indeed more suicides than homicides. There are twice as many.
Wow.
About 25,000 homicides and... just sort of heartbreakingly, 50,000 suicides.
Hmm.
So, and in 2020, latest year, these figures are available, were there more deaths in the U.S. from firearms or falls?
I would say falls.
No, it is actually firearms, but they're so close. 45,000 from firearms, 43,000 from falls.
Mm.
Interesting.
All right.
Yeah, they tripped and fell and shot themselves.
And in 2021, again, latest year that figures are available, what were the leading causes of death in the U.S.? I'm looking for the top three leading causes of death.
Well, you mean
drug overdose.
In terms of a natural death, and it's heart attack, stroke,
any sort of death at all, leading causes of death.
That's still heart disease. Is still number one.
Yeah, heart disease and stroke and
Heart disease is number one. That's correct.
Old age. I don't know. Natural causes.
No.
No.
Is firearms one of them?
No.
Well, how about overdoses?
Hmm.
No, and I'm going to give you a hint here. Remember, this is 2021 that these figures are for.
Oh, COVID.
Oh, well, COVID, right.
COVID is number three. Heart disease, number one. COVID with 417,000 was number three.
Well, just tell us number two then. Or what?
Cancer.
One.
Okay, and I have one last one. This is a little
off. I think we better move along.
All right, we'll close it out, but that's the Day of the Dead.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning. It's true. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. Area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Our panel today, that would be Cameron Shaw, teacher and cinematographer, Daryl Garrison, realtor in Brentwood, correct? Brentwood?
Steve.
Yeah.
Steve, okay. And of course, my name is Dana Rodriguez. I'm the moderator, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. All right, let me give you a couple questions here. Okay. Think about this for a second. In 1945, the Gallup poll took a poll of most admired women in America. Eleanor Roosevelt, no great secret, was number one as the most admired woman in America. The second most admired woman in America was a fictional person.
Oh.
Who was that?
A fictional human.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Fictional Jim. So in 1945, the Gallup poll, Eleanor Roosevelt came out as number one as the most admired woman in America. But a fictional person ended up being number two. Who was that?
Little Orphan Annie.
Oh.
That's an interesting guess, but not Little Orphan Annie.
Okay, and this is too early for Wonder Woman, I believe.
No, is it?
She's 41.
She's 41, I think. Okay.
So what? Go ahead.
From a novel, I'm assuming. Is that correct?
I don't think I'm going to make not going to give an answer at the moment.
Okay.
But it could be.
Okay.
Oh, you mean like Scarlett O'Hara?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
All right. Think it over.
Okay.
So in 1945, a Gallup poll was conducted that asked who was the most admired woman in America. Eleanor Roosevelt was number one. Who was number two?
How about Rosie the Riveter as a catch-all for women in World War II?
Nope, not Rosie the Riveter.
No. Okay.
And as far as the question, number two was a fictional person.
Oh.
All right, Daryl, I'm going to recuse you from this question because I think this is something you would know.
What?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Of the two people who sang the Love Boat theme song heard over the TV show's opening credits, there are two people who sang the Love Boat's theme song heard over the opening credits. Who are they?
Wow, no pressure on me or anything here.
Well, it's just,
I have not the faintest idea.
I'm sure Daryl has the faintest idea. But I'll let you answer later, Daryl. Nobody else gets it.
I'm sure someone will call in.
So who are the two people who sang the Love Boat theme song heard over the TV show's opening credits? It's not two people together. One person sang it for several years, and then one person sang it toward the end of the show.
Okay.
All right. So leave that out, and I'll give you one more question. I'm going to give you... six actors, and I want you to tell me what famous explorer they portrayed in movies. These are regular in the theater movies, not made for TV stuff. So these actors each portrayed a famous explorer in a movie. Tell me who the famous explorer is. Number one, Gary Cooper. Number two, Rod Taylor. Number three, Cesar Romero, who I met.
Oh.
Number four, Robert Shaw. Number five, Fred McMurray. And number six, Tom Selleck. So each of these actors portrayed a famous explorer in a movie.
In a feature. I know one.
Number one, Gary Cooper. Number two, Rod Taylor. Number three, Cesar Romero. Number four, Robert Shaw. Number five, Fred McMurray. Number six, Tom Selleck. Okay, I'll give you each one guess.
So Gary Cooper was Marco Polo.
That is correct. You got Marco Polo. The Adventures of Marco Polo. Right. And Cameron?
I don't have a guess on this right now, but I do have a guess on the most admired woman. Can I go back to that?
Yeah, you can go back to that.
Okay, so 1945, I think, was the year that Mildred Pierce came out. Is it Mildred Pierce?
What an interesting guess. No, it is not Mildred Pierce.
Okay, all right. Too bad.
All right, and let's go to a call. Hey, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Fred in West Virginia.
Hi, Fred.
Hi.
This admired woman, 1945, was Betty Boop.
Betty Boop? No, not Betty Boop.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, now, we're in an election series, and we election season, and we hear a lot of the word fascism. And, of course, it's always in a pejorative sense. Some people say it isn't even an ism, like socialism, communism, capitalism. Who coined and used the word publicly first? Fascism.
Well, I think that's a Latin. It's an old Latin thing. But let's see.
Well, is it related to Il Duce Mussolini in his circle?
Il Duce Mussolini, 1915, took a term from a labor party, the fascistas. And what's the etymology of the word?
Face.
What is it?
He said face, I think.
Yeah.
The origin, no, not face. Although, I see why you would say that, but that's not correct. In the political sense, what would be fashion? What would be? It was also an agricultural term.
Well, I know they...
agricultural term.
It's a bundle... No, the way it was portrayed in Mussolini's time was they had as a bundle of sticks or straw.
A bundle. It's a bundle. Held together. It's a bundle of sticks held together. So, I mean, it's kind of a union of a certain group. And what is it used in anatomy?
It's like a plantar fascia, fascia is something inside your.
It's body. A bundle of tendons that are or something like that.
That can
a layer of tissue around a bundle of muscles called a fascia, and if things are too tight, an operation is a fasciotomy to remove a portion of the fascia. And
the
little baby Benito Mussolini. Who was he named after?
Benito Juarez.
Exactly, a leftist president. One more question. I was in San Francisco recently. Where is the statue of El Cid?
There is a statue of El Cid in San Francisco. Oh.
Statue of El Cid, the 11th century Spanish hero, El Cid, on a horse.
Is it in Golden Gate Park?
No,
it's near a museum. You're on the right track. It's
okay.
Near a museum. Yes,
it's a Legion of Honor.
It's the Legion of Honor. What a beautiful museum that is! I think it's one of the most beautiful in the world. The location on the hill there with the view of the Golden Gate Park, Golden Gate Bridge. All right, thank you, Elsie.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, good luck on Tuesday. Oh, also. I want to announce that the Republicans this year vote on Wednesday. So we're telling everybody that in West Virginia, hopefully. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, that's for everybody. And let's see. Let me look. We had some emails here. I just want to get to them for like 1 second. And most admire, we'll see what do we have here. Okay, so Donald and John and Robert all said the same answer for most admired woman after Eleanor Roosevelt in 1945, and they were right. It's Betty Crocker.
Oh, goodness.
Very good.
Betty Crocker. So very good. Yep.
Interesting.
And John says that the dog Murray was a border collie. Is that
Border Collie Shepherd mix? That's correct.
Okay. All right.
All right. And Joanne on the board says Cindy from Vallejo called in a guest for Jack Jones for the Love Boat theme song.
Jack Jones was the original singer for the Love Boat theme song, but there's another person who also sang it. But good for you getting Jack Jones. Good job.
Job, Cindy.
Okay. So, Cameron, your turn.
Okay. I'm going to skip over my politics-related questions for the week. So there's one capital city in the world that boasts the most stable year-round temperature of every city in the whole world. What capital city would that be?
You well, like Quito, kind of a thing, because it's on the equator. Is that what you mean?
I mean, Quito is a capital, but it's not Quito.
This is a country's capital, not a state capital.
It is a country or territory's capital. It's a territory. Well, let's call it a territory.
Okay. And could we ask if, when you say stable, what can you give us a temperature? Is it a stably warm country?
A stable? Yes, it's a stably warm country, and I didn't write down the range. I believe the range was between 72 and 85 year round. It was something 70s to 80s year round.
And this is a territory, not a country.
Yes.
It's in Oceania.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay. Is it Tuvalu?
No.
All right. Leave it out.
I believe Tuvalu is its own country, but I could be wrong.
Yes, it is. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. Solomon Islands.
Not the Solomon Islands, but you're getting there.
American Samoa?
No, not American Samoa.
Guam?
Nope. Keep going. That's too far north.
The Marianas?
Yes, the Northern Marianas. The Saipan is the most stable capital, the most stable city temperature-wise in the world.
All right. Okay. Nice. All right. Give us another question, Cam.
Okay. So Patti Smith Hill, I'm sure you all know, is famous for writing Happy Birthday or popularizing Happy Birthday.
Mm-hmm.
What national organization did she help to found?
Is she the Girl Scouts by any chance?
No, not the Girl
Scouts. I thought she was a school teacher, a national teachers or PTA or something like that.
You're in the right ballpark, yes.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna give it to you just based on something. Well,
is the National Teachers Association, the NTA?
Nope, but you're getting close.
Okay. And we already said the PTA, so it's not the parents' teachers.
Okay. It's not the Parent Teacher Association.
All right. Okay. Just give that question once more, please.
Okay. Patti Smith Hill is famous for writing Happy Birthday, but she also founded a national organization. Which national organization is it?
All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. The two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. And you don't have to repeat that, but we should just give all the questions that are out there right now. So Cameron, start with you.
Sure. I am looking for the most commonly studied languages on Duolingo in the following country. I'm sorry, singular language in the following countries. Sweden, Australia, Mongolia, India, Tanzania, and Afghanistan.
So basically, when they want to learn a second language, they're going to study this.
Yes.
What are they going to study?
Okay. Yes. All right. And then there was one inanimate object on CNN's list of the top 25 Halloween costumes this year. What was it and why?
Inanimate object. All right, Daryl.
What was the name of Mrs. Drysdale's Pampered Dog on the Beverly Hillbillies? And what was the name of Walt's dog on Lost?
That's it? That's all you have left?
Yep.
Okay. And let's see, where are we here? There were two people who sang the Love Boat theme song over the show's opening credits, over the history of the show. And one of our listeners got Jack Jones. He was the one that did it for the first few years, who was the woman who did it on the last year. I think it was only the last year of the show. And I have some actors who portrayed famous explorers in movies. So ones we have left are Rod Taylor, Cesar Romero, Robert Shaw, Fred McMurray, and Tom Selleck. They all each portrayed a famous explorer in a movie. And that is it. Okay, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, everybody. It's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Okay, I'll do a politics-related question since Cameron's too scared.
I'm scared. It's true.
The what state does not have any voter registration requirements? In other words, there is no voter registration in this state.
I think, is it Nevada?
No.
Like, are you automatically registered? No. Okay.
How about Montana?
Nope.
Mm. Oh, what about New Hampshire?
No.
No voter registration. So then how do you get your ballot?
You just show up with you got to show up with a state ID, you know, driver's license or a tribal ID. It's also acceptable.
Is that California by any chance?
No, Alaska. You have to register here.
Mm. Is it Alaska?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Gosh.
So is it it's a Western state though, isn't it?
It's a Midwestern state.
Midwestern state.
Well, you said tribal, so how about Oklahoma?
Yeah, tribal. That's a good point.
No, start going north.
How about South or North Dakota?
North Dakota.
Interesting.
North Dakota is correct. Yeah, you just have to have been a resident there for 30 days.
Huh.
Mm. Okay, good.
Interesting. Wow. And then the Love Boat, the other one is the Dionne Quintuplets. I mean, Dionne Warwick.
Dionne Warwick, yes.
Oh, nice.
Yes. And who were the three guest stars who were on the Love Boat the most?
This is a Daryl question.
By the way, I remember in one episode, Charo shows up and sings the Love
Boat. She was on a lot. Yeah.
In one of the episodes. How about Charo?
Charo is number three.
Nice.
Yeah. Significant that she's the only one who always appeared as the same character.
Okay.
Huh. Well, I know Ethel Merman showed up quite a bit.
Not Ethel Merman.
Who played Gopher's father? He was... Mm-hmm. Who was that? Robert Cummings or somebody like that?
All women, I'll say that.
All women, okay. All right. And did they all, did the women, other than the one, other than Charo, did the women play the same role each time?
No. Okay. No, though one of them did for, one of them did not apparently at all, and one of them did play the same role on quite a few of them. That they were a love interest, but apparently not in all of them, if that makes sense.
All right, now, Daryl,
both famous TV moms.
Oh, like Florence Henderson?
Florence Henderson is number two.
Hey, good.
And the number one is the romantic interest. This was the Captain Stubbings.
Oh. Huh.
Another very, very famous TV mom of the 70s.
Shirley Jones.
Yeah, I think you're...
No. Nope. No. I'd say possibly even more famous. role-wise. Very popular, long-running show.
Hmm.
Nostalgic show.
Happy Days? The mom from Happy Days?
Oh, Marion Ross?
Marion Ross.
She was the love interest?
For Captain Steubing, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Good.
Okay.
And then one last Love Boat-related question. There was in one of the shows, they had an actor, and then they had flashbacks of that actor as a much younger person. And both of these roles were played by Best Supporting Actor Oscar winners.
But did they win the Supporting Actor Oscar after being on the show or before?
One of each.
So in other words, one Best Supporting Actor Oscar winner portrayed another Best Supporting Actor Oscar winner, the child, or?
Yeah, as something. A younger man.
Younger person. Okay, so it was a man. Huh. I don't know. Ernest Borgnine.
No. So you're kind of in the right area. So this, the first one, the one who won it earlier, won it in 1968, late 60s. And the younger one was also nominated for Best Director as an Oscar.
Well, the one from 68, is that Jack Albertson by any chance?
Nope.
Okay.
How about Clint Eastwood? No.
No?
No.
No. Daryl, do you have any idea?
No, I don't know. I missed that episode.
The earlier one also is probably best known, say, for a comedy role. By at least the younger people of today, though, he had a...
I think you better tell us.
It's George Kennedy was the older one, and he was played by Tim Robbins.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, I like that.
as a younger person.
Hmm.
In the Love Boat. Yeah, interesting. Nice. Thanks. Great show, as always. Adios.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And the two numbers to join us for the question or answer, area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Daryl, it is your turn.
Well, I'll keep it short here. There are 22 countries where voting in the presidential election is mandatory, which, you know, maybe it's a good idea. What is the most populous?
India.
No.
No, I think India is one of them, though, right? Maybe.
It's not. No.
Oh. Okay.
Well, I know it is in Australia, though. I don't think that's the most.
It is mandatory in Australia, but that's not the most populous one.
Okay. Let's think about this. So you only know the most populous.
How about Bangladesh?
No.
How about, yeah, no, I did that. They just had a election there. Well, not a little while ago. I think it is in South America in some countries. Is Argentina one of them, maybe?
Argentina, it is mandatory, but that's not the answer.
Okay. So it's something, it's in other words, it's more populous than Argentina.
Yeah.
So how about Brazil then?
Brazil, 200. So think about that, 200 million people and they have to vote.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, I think it's a good idea, frankly.
I do, too. Yeah. It's great.
Hmm. All right. Wow. And, all right, Daryl, you want to give one more question?
Sure. What was the... let me do this one. You'll love this, Dana. Which U.S. president had a Ph.D. and which U.K. prime minister had a Ph.D.? The prime minister is from this century and the U.S. president is from last century.
Well, the U.S. president is Woodrow Wilson.
That's correct.
Who was the Ph.D. from the University of Virginia or Princeton. I don't know. He taught and was the dean of Princeton. Anyway, the UK prime minister. Let's see. So how long ago are we talking about, Daryl?
This century.
Well, this century.
This century. Oh.
Can't be too many people.
Oh, no.
So probably not the most recent guy who's not currently the guy with the hair. Blanking on Boris Johnson.
Keir Starmer?
Not him.
I was thinking of Boris Johnson.
He's not current. How about Gordon Brown?
Gordon Brown is correct.
Oh, good for you.
Very good.
Good for you. All right. Thank you. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning. By the way, Woodrow Wilson taught philosophy at Stanford. So he actually taught in our neighborhood, which is beautiful. History.
All
right, that's a very cool question. So let's talk operas. I love operas. I went to San Francisco Opera many, many, many times. So let us, before that, I want to mention operas related to Egypt. How many times Egypt was mentioned in the Bible? 70 times or over 700 times?
700 times, bro.
Yes. Okay, how many times Israel was mentioned in Egypt, ancient Egypt? The family of Israel. Or, you know, how many times? Take a guess. It was.
Zero.
How many? No, once. Once. Okay, let's now go operas. I wanted to mention there's about 10 operas. Their plot takes place in ancient Egypt. One of the most famous one, which is my loved one, is Aida. Beautiful, beautiful. You know, one of the best performance I like to watch besides San Francisco is Bob Jones University performance. Beautiful, really beautiful. Name two more. And that would be my question for today.
Two more, I'm sorry, two more what?
Two more operas where the plot happens in ancient Egypt.
Ancient Egypt. Other than Aida, you mean?
Other than Aida, right.
Yeah.
It's actually about 10, but just mention two for the time.
Is part of the magic flute in Egypt?
Yes, it is. And most people don't know that. Yes, it is. Okay, that's right.
The sum total of what I know about opera.
Yeah, it's beautiful, really beautiful, beautiful to watch. I watched it at the San Francisco Opera House. It's beautiful to watch. Okay, one more. That's one more for today.
Well,
related
film class,
to Cleopatra.
Yeah, there was.
But one famous, which I want people to watch it online, is beautiful. It is by Philip Glass. Do you know the name of it?
Yeah, it's the one about the pharaoh. It's named after
the monotheistic pharaoh. It is beautiful. You can watch it. Not only it has so much plot, it also have actual acting of Akhenaten and Nefertiti. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful performance. Always a good show, and look forward to talking to you next week. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much, Ian.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Feel free to give us a call. We've got a few minutes left in the show. Those numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. Let's see here. Should I give you a question or should I not?
Yeah, okay. It's your turn.
All right. What historical figure was portrayed in the movies by Tim Curry, Christoph Waltz, Vincent Price, and Charlton Heston? What historical figure was portrayed in films by Tim Curry, Christoph Waltz, Vincent Price, and Charlton Heston?
A religious figure?
He's kind of, yeah. But not a biblical figure.
Okay.
Nothing from the Bible.
Okay, so.
A pope?
No, not a pope. So what historical figure was portrayed by Tim Curry, Christoph Waltz, Vincent Price, and Charlton Heston? Religious, but not from the Bible.
Well, we talked earlier about El Cid. Wasn't Charlton Heston in the movie?
Well, he did play El Cid, but none of the other people did, so no.
Archbishop of Canterbury.
No, not that. That's a good guess.
Okay. He was in Tombstone? Was it one of the... I'm not remembering who he played in Tombstone.
Oh, no. Nothing to do with the Old West. It was a religious figure, but not a biblical figure.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Yeah.
Somebody like a St. Thomas Aquinas?
Well, that's a pretty good guess, but no, not that. All right, think about it for a minute. We'll take another call. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, Jack Jones. How long ago did he die?
Last week.
Yeah, that's right, 9 days. I just found out who he was. Pretty good voice when you check it out. Hey, okay. Now, I was going to ask a question, I swear, and having nothing to do with it, you've already given 3 of the 5 answers. What do you think my question was? You've already given 3 of the 5 answers, but it was to another question.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron?
Movies that Charlton Heston was in.
No, it wasn't that. And I didn't think Betty Crocker, by the way. I thought if it was a living person, it should be Amelia Earhart. If she was fictional, anyway, what? Something happened in this show already, and there were 3 answers. And only when you got to the 3rd one did you call it off. It was the answers to what?
We don't know.
Cameron, you did it.
I'm not sure which one you're referring to. I'm sorry.
Then I'll tell you. Stable okay. Temperature?
Oh, yes. Territories in that the U.S. holds?
And the 3 answers were...
Guam, Samoa. American Samoa, and the Mariana Islands.
That was the 3rd. Right, the 2nd one was Guam, and the third guess was Mariana Islands. And
well, what is your question, though?
My question is, which territories do not observe daylight savings?
Well, Hawaii doesn't, but it's not a territory.
Right. Hawaii doesn't, and also the portion of Arizona.
Right.
That was all your state. And that only left
Marshall Islands.
3 territories, and you got two more. What are they?
The Marshall Islands?
No.
No.
Oh, let's see. They're all in the far Pacific, correct?
No. The opposite.
And they're U.S. territories?
Yes.
The Virgin Islands?
That's one.
Good, okay.
And its neighbor.
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico, right, which has representation. It's able to attend certain. I don't know exactly what its status is. No congressmen, no electoral votes, but something to keep in mind. And they don't have to move their clocks back. Just a coincidence. Right. And the other thing, and stable temperatures. Does that? They don't have to move their thermometers up and down because they got stable temperature year round. Keep your clocks there. Keep your thermometers there. All right. Thanks a lot. Take care.
All right. Thank you very much. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. I should say that Danny sent me an email that got the correct answer to what historical figure was portrayed on film by Tim Curry, Christoph Waltz, Vincent Price, and Charlton Heston. That is, or was, Cardinal Richelieu.
Oh,
Three Musketeers.
Yeah, right. And different other films too, but yeah. Three Musketeers, definitely. So, and And Jonas was wondering, I'm still trying to understand why in Sweden it's Swedish. Is Swedish, so was Swedish the language that people were studying?
Yes, in Sweden it is Swedish, and it's because they have accepted a lot of refugees from other countries who are learning Swedish.
Okay, all right, done. All right, and next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Well, you just called me up. This is Danny in Albany with Sandra in Albany.
Hello.
Good. Glad you got that.
Well, thank you for the ding.
Mrs. Drysdale's dog was a poodle named Claude.
There you go. Who would know that?
Play to my wheelhouse. I love that.
Yes, right. Yes. 60s TV, 70s TV. Yes, indeed. So is the language most studied in Tanzania possibly Chinese?
It is not. Tanzania is sort of similar to the Sweden one.
Oh, my goodness. All right, then that would be Swahili. But
it is It is Swahili, and it's because there are 120 different languages in Tanzania or thereabouts. Wow. And many people are trying to learn the official language of the country.
Lordy, lordy, lordy. All right, well, that's that would be tough. The actors portraying explorers, I'm sorry that I actually know that Rod Taylor played Sir Francis Drake in some really god-awful movie from the early
70s. No, it was okay. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible. Seven Seas to Calais.
Seven Seas to Calais. All right. Yeah, right. Well, you know, the next year he did The Birds and redeemed himself.
All right.
So, So let's see here. We don't have time for my long question, so I'll just ask this really very short one. There's only one song written by the Beatles, released on a Beatles album, that starts with the letter J. What is it?
Julia.
No, that was too simple.
Ding.
But yes.
Yay. Very good.
Ding for you. All right. Well, I've got slightly more Byzantine questions for next time, and I hope to get in earlier.
All right.
It's really happy to you guys.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks. See you later.
Bye-bye. And let's see. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Stephen Vallejo.
Hi, Steve.
I just got scooped on Cardinal Richelieu. Cameron, did you get your costume question answered?
I did not.
Was that one of the Chipotle costumes?
Yes, it was the Chipotle burrito. Good job. Do you know why?
Oh my God, I wouldn't have guessed that in a million years.
Chipotle was running a promo that you could get a discount or something if you came in dressed as a burrito.
That's great.
All right.
Nice job.
And then real quick, you had a question last week from an emailer about what ghost did Alec Guinness play in a movie?
Yeah.
And
yes, Star Wars.
Yeah, the answer given was Star Wars. Yeah. He actually played a ghost about 10 years before that in a movie. Do you know what that was?
He played the ghost of Sigmund Freud. Didn't he? I forgot the name of the movie now, but he did portray the ghost of Sigmund Freud in a film.
Oh, that one I don't even know. I have a different one.
Okay, which one did you have?
He played the ghost of Jacob Marley in Scrooge.
Oh. Oh, yeah. But he did portray the ghost of Sigmund Freud in a movie.
Interesting.
But I can't think of the movie now. But, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Okay, time to wrap up here. Cameron, start with you.
Okay. The most commonly studied languages on Duolingo that we haven't gotten in Australia, it's French. In Mongolia, it is Korean. In India, it's English. And in Afghanistan, it's German. And then the national organization that Patti Smith Hill founded is the National Organization for the Education of Young Children. So preschool teachers unite. That's all right. All I got.
Carol.
Walt's Labrador Retriever on Lost was named Vincent. He was in the final shot of the show.
Nice.
That's it? That's the one?
I was only allowed to ask one question today, Dana.
No, I mean, but that was, the dog was only in one shot of the whole show?
No. I'm just saying he was in the final shot.
Okay. All right. Let's see. What do I have left here? Oh, yeah. Famous explorers. Got Gary Cooper, Marco Polo, Rod Taylor, Francis Drake, Cesar Romero, Hernan Cortez, Robert Shaw, Francisco Pizarro, Fred McMurray played Meriwether Lewis of Lewis and Clark. And Tom Selleck, this is the one I want everybody to get. And he played Columbus, Christopher Columbus.
Huh, weird.
Yeah, great casting, huh? Anyway, if we can get to your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thanks to Cameron Shaw, teacher and cinematographer, Daryl Garrison, realtor in Brentwood. What did I say, Dan? I always get Danville and Brentwood. It's two mixed up. I'm sorry, Daryl.
Same thing, yeah.
But I'm sure he'd be happy to sell you a house in either one. But anyway, I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KLW. Thanks for listening to Minds Over Matter. Thanks to Joanne Marv for having board and phones. And thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody, and please join us next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thanks. Bye-bye.